Hello and welcome to SciPodcast episode 18, GP Live. So this weekend was GP Live and we went.
Yes, we did.
We were really, really unorganised, as ever, and waited until the day before to actually buy some new equipment, didn't we?
We went out and we bought ourselves some live audio recording gear so we could record a podcast on the road.
Which was quite cool. But we had our fingers crossed the whole way to the shop that they would have it in stock.
And that when we brought it home, it would actually work.
Yes, but it all did. Everything seemed to fall into place, so
absolutely,
we were quite lucky. So we'll start at the very beginning, and here's a clip of us talking in the car on the way.
Yeah, so here we are. It's 8:30 on a Sunday morning. We got up ridiculously early, didn't we?
Yeah, I'm tired.
You're driving. I am the passenger. How's it going?
It's not too bad, actually. There's not as much traffic as I thought.
We haven't met any queues yet, have we? The weather's looking promising.
Yeah, the sun's out, but I don't want to jinx anything.
So you're looking forward to it?
Definitely.
What bit specifically are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to seeing whether Martin Brundle is still miserable.
Like he was in Goodwood, you mean?
Yeah, because at Goodwood, he just ignored everybody.
Ah, so maybe he could redeem himself here.
Hopefully.
Okay, that'll be interesting to watch. Anything else you're looking forward to see?
Red Bull.
Ah, the RB1 on track, RB3 on static display, and Adrian Newey. He's around somewhere too, isn't he? Anyone else?
No.
That's it then. All day in those two things. Is Martin Brundle, is he going to be friendly? RB1, there it goes.
Meow.
Okay, cool. So we've got maybe a half an hour to get to our destination, and you're quite pleased with the tickets, aren't you?
I'm very happy with our tickets because I bought them ages ago and I just got general access ones to wander around because we don't like to be in one place for too long.
And we don't like to pay the high price for grandstand seats.
And we're cheapskates. But they sent an email around saying the first people to reply get a free upgrade to a grandstand seat. So I replied, and I won!
Okay, so we've got an uncovered grandstand seat free of charge.
Basically, yeah.
Nice one.
What are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, I think it's going to be a day of sons. Drivers and their sons, because we've got James Hunt's son's going to be there. Martin Brundle's son's going to be there. And you look through the list and almost everybody is somebody's famous son. So that's going to be interesting to see all the young kind of kids coming through. I think the RB3 on static display is going to be something interesting to see because we've not seen any of this year's cars yet, have we? Autosport, it was all the 2006 cars. So it'll be the first time we see a 2007 car up close.
And we're going to get you some pole position.
I forgot that. Apparently, with our ticket, we get a free sample of David Coulthard's pole position aftershave. So I'm apparently going to smell like David Coulthard, which is lovely. I can't wait.
So we got there, and it really wasn't very obvious. There were no signs outside.
Nope.
Saying where it was, except there was a sign for the Sunday market that was in the same place.
Yeah, there was a huge sign, Donington Sunday Market, not a word
about GP Live.
No.
And there wasn't a lot of traffic, although we think we were maybe a bit early and everyone seemed to come later, but we were expecting a bit more than what we found.
I think when we arrived there were probably 8 or 9 cars in front of us in the car park.
Yeah, we were a bit worried that we were going to be the only people there,
and we got there 10 minutes after the gates opened, so we weren't like exceptionally early.
No, I mean, when we walked in, there were things going around the track.
Yeah.
And once we got inside the gates, we didn't really know where to go. It wasn't obvious. We couldn't find the racetrack.
No. We could hear the racetrack and you could hear the cars going around. But basically, it was a very kind of large open car park and we were pretty much free to wander where we wanted to go.
And there were lots of old cars scattered around,
yeah,
as you would expect.
Yeah.
Lots of big lorries.
Yes. All the car transporters had turned up.
So to start with, we wandered up and down like the garage.
It was the back of the garages, wasn't it? Where the trucks had backed into, and then they were loading and unloading all the cars for the day's events. And it was pretty cool because we were free to roam in and amongst everybody.
Yeah, I mean, one lot of people, they pushed a car, an old Formula One car, right out in front of everyone. Then they lifted it up on the trailer gate thing in the lorry and almost like decapitated us all. So, you know, they were quite happy to just, you know, do it with all the public around.
I think you said it best when you said that it was almost as if they were there for the day and carrying on, and it was irrelevant on whether we were there.
It did seem to me like that. Actually, the whole day, it was like they were there racing, having their fun, doing what they do, and there just happened to be some people there. It wasn't like it was an event for the fans.
No. It's not all bad, though, because we found the RB1.
That was almost the first thing we found.
Mm-hmm.
It was tucked in one of the garages, and you could go right up close to it. You took lots of pictures, didn't you?
Absolutely, yep. And a fine photo opportunity it was. There it was, waiting in the pit, waiting to be driven by Michael Amula. I think that's the way it's pronounced.
Something like that.
So it had his name stenciled on it and all that, and it was rare to go.
Not for the first time in the day. We had to ask someone where we were supposed to be going.
Yes.
And finally, we found our way through a tunnel under the racetrack, out the other side, and oh my God, there was the racetrack and all the grandstands. Everything became clear.
You say all the grandstands. I might have to raise a slight criticism over the quality of the grandstands, because obviously, as you mentioned earlier, we got a free upgrade. But I don't think I would have been happy if I'd paid to get on that grandstand, would you?
No, I think the difference in price in the ticket was almost 50 quid, and it was not worth it.
It didn't give you a better view than just standing on the hill. In fact, in some ways, you kind of got a worse view, I felt.
There was a fence in the way.
There was a fence in the way. It was, if you just went down to the nearest corner, you could get a perfectly clear view of the track.
But still, we made the most of it because it was free.
Yes.
And we sat in the grandstand for a bit and watched some old cars going around, and we have a clip of us doing that.
Well, we're making the best use of our grandstand seats. We're looking at the cars we saw in the museum going around the track. It's much better, isn't it?
I tell you something. They weren't half dull, just sat there looking at us in the museum, weren't they? But now they've got life. What are we looking at the moment?
It's like post-war era, like the 50s or something, and there's overtaking and everything. It's almost exciting.
It's like Formula One used to be. They sang great, didn't they? And when they went off the grid, there was a hell of a lot of smoke, and it's damn sight more overtaking than you get in Formula One these days. It has to be said, though, there's a very clear leader, and then there's kind of a large battle in the midfield. So it's not too dissimilar from what you see today.
And there's a very clear loser as well.
Yeah.
He's pootling around about 2 minutes behind everyone else.
I was going to say that it's a Super Aguri, but that doesn't work anymore. I guess it's a Spyker. So we saw a car on fire, didn't we? And also we've seen the Euro Series warm-up, which were really, they were really loud, weren't they? Very fast, very loud. Lots of traction control on those cars. How do I look today in my Renault hat, by the way?
It's really embarrassing.
I appear to be the only one wearing such paraphernalia.
That's because they had to give them away.
There's some cool people in front of us in some Williams gear. And I've seen a couple of Red Bull Racing. There's a Nico Rosberg fan, but no other 2007 Renault caps.
While we were in the grandstands, I did notice there was a very creepy guy, because we were sat right at the top, at the back, and he was a couple of rows down from us and across, and he didn't even seem to be looking at the cars. He was just sat there looking at the ground, really.
I thought he was asleep, which is quite a feat, given the noise that was going on around him.
Yeah, and he just had his baseball cap on, and I mean, he didn't even look like he was interested in being there.
No.
It was weird.
Maybe he was sent there for some reason.
At one point, I thought it was a statue, because he hadn't moved. Talking of loud, they lined up about 20 Cosworth engined cars.
Yes.
And made them all noisy at the same time.
Made them all noisy?
Yeah.
Is that the technical term for revving an engine?
They all revved their engines at the same time. It was loud.
Yes. There were supposed to be 40 though, wasn't it?
There were. Well, the guidebook said there was supposed to be 40.
There was about 20 something.
And if you listen to the clip we've got now, it seems that I really took quite a lot of stock in what the guidebook said.
Right now, we're about to listen to a special parade from 21 Cosworth DFV-powered Grand Prix cars. They're all going to rev their engines at the same time, and we're all going to go a bit deaf. The GB Live guidebook says there are going to be 40, but I can only count 21. I feel a bit cheated. I think it's still going to be loud, though. If there were 40 cars, it says they would rev their engines combining 320 cylinders, 120 litres, and an estimated 20,000 horsepower. Obviously, there's only half that number, but I still think it's going to be pretty impressive. They're all being pushed into place, and everyone's clearing the track. Didn't make my hair stand on end. It was loud, but it makes me feel happy. I think I'm a proper rev head.
That was an awesome sound, was it not? They're going to come around again, I think.
It's not supposed to be a race, it's just a demonstration, but really the cars are fighting each other for track position. They're just coming round the corners again, coming into the pit straight. A couple are staying out on track. A lot of them are going into the pits. They only wanted to do a couple of laps. They timed that well with an aeroplane taking off, a jumbo from East Midlands Airport. Which just added to the noise. No complaints from me, though.
You know, this event has a lot in common with Goodwood, doesn't it? I mean, it's obviously in its infancy, and they clearly have a few issues in terms of directions and things. But it kind of, a lot of the things that were going on remind me a lot of the Festival of Speed. And one of the things that the Goodwood FOS has that GP Live is missing is they give out these earpieces as you go in the gate.
They don't give them out, you have to pay. They come with the programme.
Oh yeah, sorry, do apologise. You can acquire these earpieces as you go in the gate, which is basically a repetition of the tannoy in your ear as you go around the event. And they kind of work apart from in the couple of the wooded areas and amongst the trees. They basically work pretty well. And I think at GP Live we were struggling sometimes to hear exactly what the guy on the tannoy was saying. I wasn't entirely clear what was going on at all points throughout the day, I think.
No, they had TV crew going around filming all the different things, which was being put on the big screens. So if you weren't in a grandstand seat or whatever, you could always see what was going on. And then they had some people commentating over the top. But like you say, if you weren't near a big screen and weren't near a tannoy, you wouldn't have a clue what was going on.
No. And I mean, there was one point in the day when you turned to me and said, oh, who's that on the screen then? And I didn't have a clue it was, but by Joe, he looked just like James Hunt.
By Jove.
He looked just like James Hunt. And I have no idea what his name is, but I'm assuming it was his son because he just looked the spitting image of him, didn't he? Is it Freddie Hunt? It doesn't matter. I mean, to me, he's James Hunt's son.
He was funny, though.
He was very good. Talk about a chip off the old block. What was it he was saying about being at Goodwood last year?
Well, because what he said was he didn't particularly want to be a racing driver or anything, but every time he turned up at events as a spectator, people asked him to drive the cars.
Right.
Because obviously, famous dad, all that. Last year at Goodwood, he was asked to drive a car, even though it was probably a little bit illegal.
He didn't have a racing license, did he?
No.
But he still did anyway.
So he pretty soon got bored of the grandstand, and we went for a wander around the inside of the track.
Looking for the exhibition centre, according to the map.
Yeah, you would think it would be quite obvious, you know, because that's where all the good stuff was.
Yeah.
But we couldn't really find it. There was an interesting race going on at the time, 70s era cars, I think, and one of them spun off the track and they were proper racing.
They were.
But all we could find was more burger vans, more ice cream vans, and not a hint of the exhibition centre because the brand new Red Bull was supposed to be in the exhibition centre. And that's what we wanted to see. So for the second time that day, we asked someone.
And what did they say?
He said the Red Bull had gone home.
Oh.
He said they packed up yesterday and left.
Great.
I was really upset.
Not surprising, that's what you came to see.
Because we made a choice between going to see the Red Bull or watching Martin Brundle do like an interview thing. And obviously we made the wrong decision. So the two things I came to see, the Red Bull wasn't there and Martin Brundle we missed.
Yes, they did. There did seem to be an issue in the programme. And I'm sure it's because the way things worked out and people's availability and stuff. But a lot of things that we wanted to see were all going on at the same time. And then there were quite quiet moments when there was not so much going on that we were interested in.
Quite dejectedly, we walked around the back of the circuit. I was really miserable. I wanted to go home. You found some cool toilets, didn't you? When I say cool, I mean retro.
You know, we were talking in the Donington show way back when we had a look at the Donington collection and maybe the possibility of running a Grand Prix at Donington Park. It has to be said, if you look at the quality of the toilets, there's never going to be a Grand Prix at Donington Park. It was a wall and nothing more. And with a sign above it that said toilet, but it was just a wall.
A wall and a drain.
Basically.
Wonderful. We got back to the paddock where we had started from, and suddenly there was this random guy. He was quite small, but he was shouting about getting this little bus to somewhere. And I was like, oh, what's that? What's he talking about? And apparently the exhibition centre is an actual proper building that is about 10 minutes walk
right,
away from the track.
Not where it said on the map.
Not where it said on the map. Not anywhere signposted. No one seemed to know. The guy obviously didn't know where it was. So we followed this guy's instruction, got in a little people carrier, drove for 5 minutes, and we walked in, and to our left there was all these like stands and merchandise and all that stuff, and to our right there was all these Formula One cars, and oh my god, the Red Bull that had gone home, it was still there.
Right, so the staff, they're not really clued up on what's going on, are they?
No. Okay. They didn't know what was going on, we didn't know what was going on.
Right, but you find the car you were looking for.
I was much happier.
Yes, and what else did you find there?
There was also a Honda.
A Honda?
Mm-hmm.
The Honda?
Well, you said it was last year's car repainted.
But the important thing was it had the Earth livery on it, didn't it?
Yeah, I had my picture taken with it.
Wow. And did it look any better close up?
No.
No. Okay. And then did you have your picture taken next to the RB3?
No.
Why not?
Because it's so pretty.
Right.
It would make me look ugly.
But you were happy to have your picture taken with the Honda?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
But actually, there was like a row of five cars. And it wasn't until about 10 minutes we'd been staring at them that you realised this was actually the Adrian Newey design exhibition bit.
Yes, it started off
five
with
cars.
His original design for the Leighton House car way back when, and moved all the way through his 3D eras looking at things like the Williams Red 5 and all the cars that he designed throughout his history, the key cars. Not a single placard explaining what the significance of those five cars were. Anywhere to be found, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't have had a clue. It was only because you said, you know, it suddenly twigged, oh, these are Adrian Newey cars.
Yes.
Oh, maybe this is the bit.
Yes. So, the RB3 was obviously the star, and it was lovely.
It was so beautiful.
We took lots of pictures of it.
Like 100?
Yeah. I was tempted to test out its flexi wing, you know, just leaning on it.
Yeah, but it was roped off, and I think there wasn't anybody around, but I think if you'd have touched it, they'd have come swarming in the windows and arrested you.
What else was going on in the exhibition centre?
Well, there were some chairs out. And we were like, oh, what's going on? People are starting to sit in the chairs. Let's go and sit with them because, you know, we are sheep like that.
And we're that organised that we know what's going on, really.
Exactly.
Professional to the core.
Well, the thing is, there was some front row seats and I thought, well, whatever it is, we're going to be in the front row. So brilliant. And what it actually was, Martin Brundle was coming along to interview Stirling Moss and some other guy.
Right. That other guy was none other than Tony Brooks. Now, I know people say you shouldn't really, you know, meet your heroes and meet your idols because it's always going to ruin something. But there's a great anecdote in Formula One about Tony Brooks, who it was kind of like the last magnanimous thing for an F1 driver to ever do. What it was, Stirling Moss was racing in the British Grand Prix and his car hit trouble. And Tony Brooks brought his car in. He was his teammate. He brought his car in and let Stirling take over his car. And he finished the race and he won the race. All thanks to Tony Brooks's magnanimous gesture of letting the guy take his car. And I thought this is a great thing to happen, you know, but way back when Formula One drivers were men. And it turns out he was telling us about the story of what really happened. And it turned out that although Tony Brooks was on pole for that race, he was apparently very injured and very sick and unable to actually complete the whole race. And he was solely there just in case Stirling Moss broke down. And it really wasn't any kind of great gesture to the man. He was just told, yeah, just turn up and drive the car. And if he breaks down, then you're there and he can have your car.
Formula One drivers are never nice.
No question about it. Tony is nice. But I think maybe folklore has twisted the story to make it better than it was. And meeting him and hearing what he had to say, it's just like a pre-planned kind of team orders, really, which is a bit of a shame. Anyway, there was Tony and Sir Stirling and Martin, and they had a chat.
Yeah, and about halfway through, Martin's son, Alex Brundle.
Oh, yes.
He came scuttling in and sat next to his dad, which was quite sweet, but no one really knew what he was doing there. But there was the chair for him, so...
They were obviously expecting
him. Presumably they were expecting him.
Yes.
Probably quite breaking all the rules of our ticket, we recorded some of the interviews.
For editorial use.
Yeah, personal use only.
Yes.
Don't tell anyone.
No.
But here are some highlights.
Good. Well, if I could probably ask you, you become at one with a racing car. Sometimes it just seems an extension of your body, of your mind. It does what you want it to do, and it always seems to help you through somehow, even if it's struggling along in certain conditions or mechanical problems. But Tony, if I could offer you one racing car back to have a go in, which one would you choose?
I think it would probably be the Ferrari I drove in 1959, because it was the last of the front engine cars, and I always found front engine cars much more satisfying to drive.
And Sterling, which one would you choose and why? Oh, that's a difficult question. I did 525 races and I needed 84 cars to do them with. Obviously, it was horses for courses. This is the problem. No car that will win at one place is going to be the best necessarily for another. And I mean, if you're going to talk about Monaco Formula One, then obviously you need a Formula One car. And I suppose the nicest car to drive would be the Cooper. The best car probably would be the Lotus until the wheel fell off. Otherwise, if you stayed on, it would be all right. But I think overall, though, if I had to choose a car, probably I'd say probably the Birdcage Mazda. For me, I think it would be a Le Mans Jaguar, funnily enough, which I always think Le Mans cars are the most elegant. Just joined by my son, Alex, here. I don't know if you're a special guest, Alex, or you just joined me because you saw me sitting here. But what would be your favourite car so far?
Well, I've only driven two, but I think the quickest one, which would be the FPA that I drive at the moment.
The quickest car, I guess that's the right answer, yeah. Question is, how can we make modern Formula One more exciting? It seems to be a high-speed demonstration with no overtaking. Do you bother to watch it these days? Is it something you would give up 2 hours of your Sunday afternoon for?
Yeah, I would, I must say, and I think it's going to be a great improvement next year when they take away the traction control. In other words, the drivers will suffer from wheel spin if they're not careful. And driving a modern Formula One car without that, I think it'll be quite difficult, and I think it's going to sort them out quite a bit. We're all for taking away all these driver aids and making the driver do the driving, and which of course is easier said than done.
Well, Alex, you're 16 years old, you're in Formula Palmer Audi, you want to be a Formula One driver, but everybody says, including two legends, it's boring. Well, what's your answer to that?
I think sport is all about people and how people react to the situation that they're in and how they feel about the sport they're playing. I think it's become too sterilised myself with sponsorship and the huge amounts of money involved. Drivers have had to hide their feelings, hide what they're thinking too much.
After they'd done talking, they all got up and went to the back of the room and started signing things, which was quite annoying because we were at the front of the room. Usually, we're not that interested in getting autographed, but it was quite a good opportunity, and you wanted to get your Renault hat signed, didn't you?
Well, yeah, if anyone obviously listened to the podcast a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the Renault fan club and the fact that by joining the Renault fan club to get all these cool online statistical analysis tools, you also sadly got a free hat, which was bright orange and blue and white.
I was prepared to wear it until I saw it.
So as luck would have it, we thought it would be really cool if Martin and his son and Sir Sterling and Tony could sign our memorabilia. So we queued up for the first time ever as autograph hunters.
And it was dull. I did not like queuing.
Not for an autograph that you didn't really want.
Autographs really don't do it for me. But, I mean, said that, it's quite a cool signature on the hat. We got Martin and Alex on the hat.
Yes.
And we got the other two on a nice picture.
What are we going to do with it? We're going to put it on eBay?
Probably. When we can come up with a good competition, we might give it away as a prize.
That sounds like
because
a good thing,
you know, there are people out there that want that hat.
Is that the booby prize?
It might be. After all that, we'd pretty much seen everything. I was happy. I got what I came for, a Red Bull and Martin.
Did your opinion of Martin improve after meeting him and speaking to him and getting his signature?
Yes.
Ah, has he redeemed himself then?
Yes.
Okay. All is forgiven for last year's good word.
Yes.
Never shall it be mentioned again.
No.
We like Martin.
Yes.
And his son.
Yes.
Yeah.
We walked back to the paddock again, but by then we were pretty tired and we'd seen everything anyway. So we decided we'd do our last little out bit for the video, and we set up next to the Red Bull
transport.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was quite a public place, quite brave for me, I think, having not done that much video in public. And I did freak out a bit because there were some people looking at me.
Right.
As you do. But if I hadn't freaked out, we wouldn't have spotted that Martin Brundle was right next to us.
He followed us.
He didn't follow us.
Oh.
But he was in the same place as us. So that was quite cool.
Right.
You managed to do some kind of panning thing, didn't you?
Martin
Brundle in shot and then me.
Yes. I hope so. We haven't seen it yet, but hopefully if it comes out all right, it'll be in the video podcast of the same event.
So it couldn't get much better than that. So we left, and on the way home in the car, we thought we'd just sum up what we thought.
Okay, so here we are, end of a long day. A bit sunburnt and a bit tired. How are you feeling?
I'm not sunburned.
I got sunburned. Apart from my sunburn, how are you feeling?
Pretty good, pretty tired. But if you're sunburned, that means it was good weather.
It was excellent weather, wasn't it? It was perfect, actually. Tiny bit overcast first thing in the morning. But very shortly the sun came out, and then it was just far too hot for me. Perfect weather for you, apparently. Okay, so what was your favourite bit of the day?
I liked it when we suddenly spotted Martin Brundle.
Right at the end, just before we were leaving, you just spotted him out the corner of your eye, didn't you?
Well, actually, I spotted his son first, because his son was there in his little overalls. And I thought, I recognise that spiky-haired little urchin. And then I recognised his dad with the stripy shirt on.
There's Martin! There he is. Oh, that was good. I'll tell you what I enjoyed most was the A1GP engine. The noise that thing made. As it screamed into those last corners, it sounded like it was going to explode, didn't it?
Yeah, was it traction control or something?
It's the traction control kicking in as he put it tight into the corners, and it just sounded like the whole engine was going to fall to pieces. It was amazing.
And we went through the tunnel, and it went over the top of us as well.
It did echo. It echoed like crazy through that tunnel, didn't it? That was good. Yes. So, a good day had by all?
I would say so, yeah.
And would you go again next year?
Depends who's going to be there.
Oh, okay. You're that fickle. Fair enough. I think that says it all, folks.
And that was our day out. Yep. What did you think?
I think it's got potential. Definitely it lacked, I think, a lot in the promotional area because there wasn't as many people there as there could have been. Signposts and directions would have been better. It's good that you can wander around free form. It's good that you're allowed to sort of pick your way through the garages and stuff, but
you need to know where you can go.
Some kind of clear indication of where the racetrack is would be a good start, I think.
Well, in that interview with Stirling Moss, he said he thought it was a cross between Goodwood Festival of Speed and Goodwood Revival, which is interesting, but I think that must be why they're finding it hard to promote, because that's kind of a difficult market. Because people like me, for instance, I like the old stuff, but I'm really only interested in modern. You know, my favourite thing of the whole day was the new Red Bull.
Right, yes.
And, you know, it was fun listening to the old cars going around, but that really wouldn't have kept me entertained for a whole day.
What it had that Goodwood doesn't have is a track. And that's pretty significant because obviously there were races. There were cars going at it, hammer and tongs. They were actually out to win, and that was good. Which obviously the Festival of Speed, it literally just has a hill climb. And most
they go up and they come back down again.
Yeah, it's mostly demonstration stuff. So if it happens again next year, I think I'd probably like to go. What about yourself?
It definitely is happening next year. They were advertising it.
Okay.
Get your advance tickets now.
Before, I'm not that keen.
Before we'd even gone to it, we were being advertised for advance tickets. So.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe we'll go next year.
Fair enough.
I have to say though, we didn't get our free pole position. So next week, actually, it's this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a few days, Formula One descends upon Monaco.
Your favourite.
I love Monaco. It's taking place on the 27th of May, and the circuit is 2.075 miles, so that will be 78 laps. And the previous three winners were Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen, and before that, Jarno Trulli. Do you like it?
Yeah, well, you can't beat it as a Formula One location, can you? It's right down by the Mediterranean. You get the boats, the yachts, you get the high and mighty from around the world of showbiz. What more could you want, you know, apart from racing cars in a race? I mean, after last year's incident during qualifying, I sincerely hope it's a more subtle affair this year.
Controversy-free.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, the weather is going to play a part this year. Apparently, it might rain, which is kind of freaking out Massa, apparently.
Mm.
Well, do you want to hear what Massa has to say on his blog? You can hear the fear in these words, right? Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, go on.
I have seen the weather forecast for the weekend, and unbelievably, they say there is a chance of rain.
Unbelievable.
Believe it or not, if it does rain, it will be a completely new experience for me.
Mm.
Do you believe that? I can't believe that. As I have never driven this track in the wet. But when it rains on everybody.
Which now, is true. It does rain on everyone. I thought, you know, I did think for a while that it was just a little rain cloud over Massa's head. You know, like in cartoons?
Yes.
But apparently it rains on everybody.
Right. So can you smell the fear already?
Yeah, like, God, I've never driven a complete circuit in the rain before. I always spin off.
Well, last year, he actually, in the dry, he spun off very, very early on in qualifying. So it's not his favourite track at the best of times. You're going to add some water to the mix. That man's in trouble. His championship could end here.
You can hear his knees are knocking.
So that's going to be fun to watch.
So we have the video of our day out at GP Live coming up soon. I'm not going to put a date on that.
Wise choice.
We also have our Monaco video preview. That should be out in a couple of days. And of course, we have the two audio podcasts for the weekend.
Wow.
So it's very busy here at Sidepodcast Hours, but that's the way we like it.